Welcome everybody to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, we're going to be talking about the energy of entrepreneurship. I know that sounds a little weird, but it's going to be a great conversation. We're going to get into a lot of different things, but energy is going to be really at the center of that. And so I hope you stick around to find out everything you need to know about approaching your business from a place of congruency in the energy. So with me today is Dorit Smalley. So Dorit is the founder of Digital Dorit Agency. Welcome to the show, Dorit.
Thanks so much, Lance. Pleasure to be here.
So thank you for taking the time out of your busy day. I know as an entrepreneur who's running an agency, there's so many things that you have to be on top of. And so I can totally relate to you because we're in a very, very similar industry. But you definitely approach things a little bit differently, like I said, at the top than what a lot of entrepreneurs do. And so I'm really curious to get into that. But first, I want to hear from you as to what you think are three core things that every entrepreneur needs to know for them to be successful at whatever it is that they're doing.
So finance, that's the first one. I feel like everybody needs to be financially responsible and financially savvy. A lot of businesses I find can really, fail in the first year of business because they don't have their finances in order. So I think like the first thing is definitely finance. The second thing is surrounding yourself with the right group of people, getting help. A lot of entrepreneurs get bogged down. They think that they should do everything themselves. I think that the most important thing, the most important lesson that you can do is to outsource and to find the things that are not benefiting you, that are not serving you, and outsourcing that to the right people who specializes in that. Like, not good at finance, get a bookkeeper, get a financial advisor. Not good at whatever, get that person. Even help in the house. So if you're so busy that you don't have the time to clean or cook, get somebody to help you.
Yeah.
And the third thing is, honestly, I feel like the most important thing that an entrepreneur can do, can have, is creativity. So, and getting inspired by creative things around them, nature, people, a lot of times it's the people around you that energize you. And giving yourself that, honoring yourself and putting yourself in positions where you can get like a complete refresh of your energy and your creativity.
Yeah, that last one is so critical. And I think a lot of us don't really realize how important it actually is. And so especially when you're in an industry where you're helping other organizations with creativity as well, right? I mean, we are in a creative industry as a marketing, communications, advertising / agency. And so how do you, I guess, fuel that? What you mentioned getting into nature a little bit. Is that your go-to, or is there something else that you do that really helps you accelerate or excite that part of your body?
Nature. I'm a nature girl.
Yeah.
I'm a nature girl. Beginning, I used to be like, okay, I'm going to go and get some inspiration online, but that really doesn't feed my bucket. It doesn't give me what I need. But when I get out of nature, it's like I'm plugging into something that is bigger than myself. And I really get that refresh that I need to just come back with fresh eyes. I feel like you need to close down technology completely when you're stuck, when you're in a place that you lack creativity, you're like, drain. That's when you go, you shut everything off, leave your phone at home, go sit on the grass, go sit under a tree, and just like breathe. That's it.
Today, we're talking about entrepreneurship and the entrepreneurial journey. And so your business, Digital Dorit Agency, tell me a little bit about the problems that you solve. Then what is it that you're doing over there in that agency?
Absolutely. We actually look at a company in a holistic perspective. So it's interesting. I got a phone call from a prospect and he wants to talk to me about email marketing. We do everything. So in the agency itself, I'm going to go through the agency and then I'm going to kind of break it down with this call, but we do everything from sales and marketing funnels. We do strategy. So we work with companies to really understand their business and to break it down and see what they need. And that might go outside the marketing scope. So a lot of times I'm looking at their business and I'm giving them advice as an entrepreneur who's kind of done a bunch of the businesses here and there. And I'm saying, okay, well, you know what? You're targeting this audience, but I feel like your business needs to be somewhere else. Like you're not in the right audience segment. So that was the call I just had. You know, it's like understanding a business. And because you and I, we work with so many different companies and industries and organizations, we tend to really understand those audience clusters. We understand the people. And so it is a people business. Understanding who that person is on the other side, who you want to sell or market or prospect to, that is the most important and vital thing that any businesses need to look at. And so we take a look at that, we take a look at the business, their goals, and then we bring that to life. So we connect them with like lead gen opportunities, with like funnels. We have email marketing campaigns for that journey of the customer journey. We have everything from social media management. We do their SEO. We develop beautiful, creative, functional, wonderful websites, everything from e-commerce and beyond. And so we really do it all in-house, and we have a wonderful team to serve our clients. But at the end of the day, our clients are number one, and their clients. We don't forget their clients. At the end of the day, it really is about servicing that other side. It's like a lot of agencies, they're like, yes, yes, it's like important to, you know, to help the client who is the person who's paying you. But at the end of the day, whose best interest does your client have? And it's their client. So you have to really focus in on that endpoint.
So when it comes to energy, I teased about this at the beginning in the intro. And this is something that you were just mentioning to me briefly before we hit the record button, that you approach your business very differently in the way that you take on clients. And then also the partners and the employees and everybody else who's maybe working with you in your business as well. So walk through this with me a little bit more. So explain to our audience what you mean by aligning yourself energetically with the right kind of clients that match your, you know, basically your vibration, your frequency, the energy that you want within your world and in your life.
Absolutely. I think I have to preface this by saying that I am an energy practitioner. So I studied Reiki and reflexology and all that jazz, you know, before, or actually during my marketing career. So it's just something that I've always been, you know, leaning towards. I'm an empath. I'm very sensitive to people's energy. So naturally that just had to come into my business. And the way that I do it is I really take a look at each client that comes through the pipeline. And, you know, when we're having our discovery call, when we're having our meetings, we're essentially like dating, you know, we're trying to figure out whether this is a good fit or not. And I really have to go with my gut. I have to go with my intuition. And what my intuition tells me is whether or not this is going to be a good fit, whether I'm going to wake up every day refreshed and energized to help and serve this client. And if I don't have that, that is when I know that that's not a good fit. And then during this whole process, the discovery process, when, you know, we're both kind of auditioning each other to see whether I'm the right marketing provider and whether they're the right client, it really does go both ways. I've actually said no to more clients than I've said yes to working with. Hmm. And that's because, you know, there's a bunch of factors. There's boundaries, and you have to set your boundaries. You have to tell, you know, your clients, this is kind of, these are my working hours. This is the way I work. This is the respect that I want for my team and myself. Like there's a lot of different things that come into play here. But having that kind of back and forth and you know, what the client says is really important, because if they're very curt and they're like, okay, when are we going to do this? When are we going to get the results? When are we going to, you know, that's kind of like gives you a tinkling of what it's like, that what it's going to be like working with them. But when they're somebody who's more pliant, who's more, you know, willing to just take your advice and to work with you and have like this nice back and forth, then you see, okay, you know, there's somebody who's on the same kind of frequency. And it really is client to client. And it's, I'm not just doing it for myself. I want to protect myself. I also want to protect my team. And having, you know, boundaries and having respectful employee-employer relationships and client relationships is really important. You know, I want everybody in my organization to feel respected and feel like they're, you know, doing the absolute best job they can, and having respect on both sides.
So now I know there's a lot of people that talk this talk, right? And there's a lot of advisors or coaches that'll say, you know, you have to learn which clients you need to fire as well, right? Where there just isn't the right fit. And so it's in your best interest, their best interest, everybody's best interest to fire or to separate yourself from that engagement. I don't know if I've talked to anybody who has actually put it into practice as well as what you have. Like when I hear you say, I have said no to more than what I've actually said yes to, is a fascinating thing, because for most of us entrepreneurs, it's not necessarily an intentionally we're starting from a place of scarcity, but it is always, or sorry, often, a situation where it's like, yeah, we need more, we want more so that we can more clients, so we can grow the business, so we can continue to add the right team members and everything else, right? So the lifeline of our companies is usually more customers. And I know you want more customers, but you're so choosy on it. So how do you stay so disciplined? Because there's so few that can walk that talk.
It's actually, you have to believe in abundance, and you have to believe that if you're going to let something go, a better opportunity is going to come your way. And I have a wait list right now. And it's essentially like people who I've vetted, who I said, okay, I'm going to work with you. And when I say that, I'm actually building a team. I'm not just going to hire people and be like, okay, I'm going to now, you know, bombard myself. And it's also my time. I have to train them. I have to onboard them. I have to, like, you know, give them all the information with the clients. I have to give them downloads. I have to show them, like, all of our, you know, the way that our procedures. It's a big kind of time commitment. And so when I'm taking somebody on, even as an employee or a client, there's a big time commitment of my time, my respect. And so having that initial conversation, that initial discovery on both ends is really important, because you're like, okay, well, is this going to be a project where I'm going to regret taking this on? Or is your personality, you know, going to be very difficult to work with? And it's not, you know, you, for example, you, Lance, can work with this person and you could be like, yeah, no problem, I can work with them. Whereas me, I might not be able to jive, and not saying that I'm a difficult person. I'm actually one of the easiest people to work with, but it's just that I need to kind of like respect my boundaries, you know, and I know immediately who's going to push those buttons and boundaries. And so you have to know that the universe is going to give you more. And it does every single time. Every time I say no to somebody, I get an even bigger client coming down the pipeline. So, and they come immediately. It's like, you know, the universe saying, good job, Dorit. I respect you. You respected yourself. You respected your boundaries. Here you go.
Here's the reward.
Like, the perfect client. Here's the reward. And it happens 99% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I find this whole thing just absolutely fascinating, because for those who haven't explored this concept, it is something that is so hard to kind of really understand the potential of what you're talking about, like, and to be able to trust that that's actually going to happen, right? It's really easy, again, to say, yeah, you know, you just turn stuff away, and, you know, you got to make space for bigger or better things to come in. And so if you're filling that space with engagements that maybe are not quite as well suited, you're never going to have that space. So that's, I can understand that part of it. But to really trust that the universe is going to provide is really difficult for a lot of people. Okay. So the question I want to ask you, because you've been in business now, you've been an entrepreneur for around 10 years, I think you said. So in that decade of time, a lot has happened. You've experienced a lot. Your business has grown. I'm sure there's been challenges along the way and so on. What I would love to know is that if you could write your younger self, so the decade earlier self, just as you're about to go down this entrepreneurial journey, you could write that person a letter. And in that letter, I'm curious, what would you advise that younger entrepreneur?
Well, that young entrepreneur was very fearful of going out on her own, fearful of taking chances, fearful of like approaching people. It's really interesting that today I see a lot of the people who work for me or with me that are scared, that have that fear. And I feel like, you know, my letter would be like, don't worry, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay. There's nothing to fear. Whatever your preconceived notions are, like it's nothing. Like your future is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And there's nothing to worry about and to really like, oh my gosh, like, should I apply for this job? Should I take this opportunity? Should I like go after this client? Like there's a lot of, you know, kind of fear that comes from, and I feel like letting go. And that's like the biggest thing that I've struggled with my whole life is fear of everything, you know? So I feel like that would be my love letter to myself is like, don't worry, don't fear, like, let go, let it go.
Awesome. Okay. And so the other thing that I'm really curious about too, because I mean, you're juggling a lot as every entrepreneur does, but you're also a mother, right? You are also practicing all the energetic work that you do as well. So you're still a practitioner of that, right? And so you're doing a lot in the business. You're evolving the business. You're working with all these different clients. You're trying to, you know, make sure that you're approaching things from that energetic place of positivity as well, and just welcoming what the universe is going to give you. But there's challenges that come with all of this, right? This journey is not for the weak of heart, I guess you could say. What would you say is some of the biggest challenges of the lifestyle, of the entrepreneurial lifestyle? And how do you overcome some of those?
Yeah, boundaries. It's a big part of it is really putting up boundaries. Like I have, I do not work as soon as my kids come home. Like that is my boundary. I will shut off. I will go back to work when they're asleep after I've tucked them in and kissed them and read them a book. I am not working between the hours of like 4:30 to, you know, 8:39, because that's my time. That's my precious time with my kids. My children are only young for so little amount of time, such a short time. And that if we don't really take advantage and spend as much time as we can with them, taking them to parks and taking them here and having these experiences with them, it's going to be gone before like we know it. It's a blink of an eye. And so having those boundaries and saying, I'm not going to work, you know, from 4:30 to 9 o'clock is a solid line for me. And also I get overwhelmed. And at that point where you're kind of like sitting there spinning your wheel, that's when you have to step back, and you just have to step back and be like, okay, I'm not going to work. Get rid of all of your devices, get rid of like your phone and your computer and your tablet and whatever, just unplug and maybe go, you know, even go like have a drink, eat something, you know, go and like just chill out for a second, read a book, whatever you need to do, go out in nature, you know, exercise, but don't go back to that screen. And taking that time, and I'm talking about half an hour is equivalent to unplugging and resetting your computer. And it's like hours, it gives you hours back. So if you hit a block, for example, at 2, you know that, okay, I'm at that block. I need to get out of the situation. Go take that half hour to yourself and then come back. You're going to see how refreshed you are, how like put together your mind is. And you're going to be able to tackle that task much better. They actually have studies, you know, from psychologists who show, you know, the people who take a break for half an hour and then come back, they're completely refreshed. The productivity is skyrocketing. So it's science.
Yeah, totally. So now one of the things before we hit the record button that you mentioned is that you're almost 100% staffed by people. And the term you used was neurodiverse people. And so that was a new term for me. So can you explain what neurodiverse means? And then how do you see the benefit of that within your business?
Sure. So neurodiversity is, you know, when you people who have ADHD or are on the autism spectrum. So anybody who kind of like their brain doesn't function the same way as neuronormative people. That is a neurodivergent person, a neurodiverse person. So, and there's a lot of us, there's a lot. I am somebody with ADHD. I've struggled with that my whole life. I have like lost so many jobs because I wasn't focused. And it's not like today's day and age, like we realize that it's not just somebody who like gets up and can't sit in their chair and like, you know, is fidgeting all the time. So there's two types of ADHD. So there's people who are inattentive ADHD, and there's also hyperactive ADHD. And then there's a combination of both, people who have both hyperactivity and the other one. So the inattentive ADHD is what I have. So it's people who can't focus, people who are like daydreamers, you know, all that. So it's very difficult for us to kind of like, you know, sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we, you know, our mind spins in a million different directions at once. It's very difficult to kind of just focus on one thing. However, and this is a big however, this is the thing with ADHD people, we hyper-focus. When we find something that we're really passionate about, that really drives us, we are like 110% in, and we go at a rate that is like faster than most neuronormative people go. Mm-hmm. So, what I do within my company is I hire, it's exclusively neurodiverse. I'm not saying that I don't hire anybody who's not, but I resonate with these people. So there is a real connection. When you meet somebody who is a fellow neurodiverse person, you just connect with them. You understand them at a level. And what I do is I find what their superpowers are. I find out like, what is it that they're truly passionate about, you know, and really hone in and get them to only do that. So it's like, you know, for example, we have a web developer who is great at design as well as the development portion of it. He's actually a web designer, who's phenomenal at both the design and the development, but development takes him like a long time. And you could tell that it's not his favorite thing to do. So I said, listen, all you're gonna do is design. That's it, you're only gonna do design. And he's thriving and his progress is much faster. And it's just crazy when you get people onto that path of like focusing in on their passion, they become hyper-focused and they do what they love to do. And their efficiency level is up, productivity is up, happiness is up, because you want happy employees, right?
Yeah. And quality usually too, right?
And what?
And quality is usually.
And quality, for sure, quality. They're really nitpicky. Like we're nitpicky people. We're like super picky. We go, like when we're really into something, we're like in the weeds. You know, and that's one of my superpowers, that I'm so focused on getting in the weeds. Like I just had a video, we did a live video for a telco company in Ontario. And, you know, I was like, okay, we have to retake the shoot because this person's hand was in a certain position, or like, you know, a client doesn't actually come into the room like that. Let's just adjust. And it's like, if you don't have that attention to detail, not finesse, you're missing. And that's kind of like, you know, one of the benefits of being ADHD is you're super attentive to detail when it's something you like.
Yeah. And you're bang on in terms of calling it a superpower. And so this has been my experience with having people on my team who have some neurodiversity. And it's just, if you understand it, understand how I guess to set them up for success, it is unbelievable, because they truly are, like, it is a superpower. And the performance, the quality, just everything is so great. But if you try to fight against it, then everything falls apart, right? And it's not good for anybody. And so I think we as employers really need to understand this concept. And so is there any resources that you could recommend that entrepreneurs turn to learn more? Or is it just a matter of Googling neurodiversity?
What? There's so many amazing resources. There's like Linda Rogley, and she is this like incredible entrepreneur who set up ADHD conferences. So like, I forget, ADHD parents and ADHD women, for women conference. And she's got just like so many resources, and even getting on her email newsletter is amazing. There's also Attitude Magazine, ADA, ADD Food Magazine. So that's like another great resource, and you can really understand a lot. I think there are articles and blogs in there about employers and how employers can accommodate people with neurodiversities. I think that's really important. I feel like the most important thing right now is to understand, you know, your employees, and a really good manager is going to find their superpowers, is going to find what drives them and what brings like their talent to light. Yep. I feel like that is kind of the epitome of what our society needs to go towards, instead of like, this is like, you need to hit these goals and da da da. It's like, you know what, let's help the person get to those goals. Let's find creative solutions to that and like hone in on what really drives them and motivates them.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing that concept, because I think this is a new one for a lot of people. And so I definitely encourage all of our listeners to get out there and do a little bit of research on that, and maybe reflect a little bit on who's in your team. And if there is somebody, you know, as an example that you gave there in terms of, you know, has a lack of focus or whatever, or it seems like that's the case, then maybe that is a case in which there is some neurodiversity at play. And so start to try to understand that. And how do you leverage their superpowers? How do you accommodate? How do you create a situation for success? And I think your business is going to benefit from it. I guarantee it. So anyway, yes, thanks for sharing that. And thanks for sharing your story and the journey that you've been on and all the cool things that you guys are doing over there at Digital Dorit Agency, which is going to have a name change pretty soon. And so we're really excited to watch the next chapter in your journey. So thank you very much, Dorit.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. And I love connecting with kindred spirits who are in the same sort of line of work.
And so if somebody wanted to reach out and connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
So they can email me at hello@digitaldorit.com. They can also find me on Instagram at @digitaldorit.
Awesome. And that's Dorit, Dorit, just for those who don't know the proper spelling there. And so thank you once again, Dorit. I really appreciate you taking the time today. And for those of you who are listening today, if you enjoy this episode and want to check out some other entrepreneurial stories, head over to amplifyyourbusiness.ca and you'll find our archives there, as well as all of our future episodes. And if you happen to be an entrepreneur who has a story that you want to share as well, there's an application form there that you can fill out. And who knows, you might be on a future episode of Amplify Your Business. Until next time, everybody, stay prosperous.